is the word that's on my heart tonight from John chapter 10 about the shepherd who said, I am the good shepherd. I am. He said it. It blesses me so much. If I don't get any further than that tonight, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Brother Cotton, shall I turn it over to you now to preach it? Oh, he said, I am the good shepherd. Didn't need to be talking about good morally, but I am the good shepherd that the Father has placed in the good position of having all authority and power. After that resurrection morning, when he said, you go now, all authority and power is given to me. That's saying something, isn't it? We just can't hardly comprehend, appreciate adequately, acknowledge sufficiently that he has all power given to him. Will we trust him to walk before us and lead us? Will we trust him to meet the enemy on the battlefield of life? All power is given to him. So these verses in John 10 from 11 to 18 will be a summary of this chapter for us tonight, please. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus is great, isn't he? He said so much there. And it kind of closed out by saying, I know this is all true because my Father has commanded it to happen. Such a relationship there between him and Father that he felt totally in charge of his life. So Jesus is calling himself a shepherd. I looked again at the 23rd Psalm and at Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A couple of those paragraphs kind of put some additional insight into the shepherd. When all is said and done, Philip Keller said, the welfare of any flock is entirely dependent upon the management of their owner. The tenant sheepman on the farm next to my first ranch was a very indifferent manager. He wasn't concerned about the condition of the sheep. His land was neglected. He gave little or no time to the flock. He let them pretty well forage for themselves. And they fell prey to dogs and cougars and rustlers. And every year they were forced to gnaw away at brown fields and poor pastures. Shelter to safeguard and protect them was scanty and inadequate. They were thin, weak, and diseased in their condition. In my mind's eye, I can still see them standing at the fence, huddled together, sadly, in little knots. I cry pretty easily tonight, don't I? Huddled together, sadly, in little knots, staring wistfully through the wires at the rich pastures on the other side. That's a good contrast for us to imagine tonight, because that's where sin and Satan takes a person. So if anybody here tonight is being tempted to yield to sin and Satan, I've just shown you there is the end result that's not pretty. But to all their distress, that selfish owner seemed indifferent, did not care. And the contrast of that was a real shepherd is one who knew his task and sent out the flock. He was sent out to the flock as soon as he was old enough to go. The sheep became his friends and companions. It became second nature to think of them before he thought of himself. Now we're talking. It seems second nature that Jesus thought of us instead of himself. I don't deserve to say that tonight. I don't deserve to be there tonight. But because Jesus said what he did about us, we'll receive it. That we would know him. My sheep know me. That you can know him with a peace that passes understanding. There's no understanding that peace because it is so complete. It has to be from God. You will know me in the power of my resurrection. And that doesn't mean all of his resurrection power is dumped on us at one time. But we are growing in the knowledge and grace of God. We are growing in the result of his resurrection. We know the power of his resurrection is at work within us. Otherwise, we would be lost like those sheep looking through a fence, wishing we could get to some good pasture. God has ordained it that those who would believe on Jesus would enter into that place of the sheepfold, would experience the fullness and the lushness of the provisions of the Lord. And so that kind of to me says there's an abundance in the Lord. There's fullness in the Lord. There's joy unspeakable and full of his glory. Yes, the half has never yet been told. So this good shepherd not only knows us, but we know him, and we listen to his voice. What really took hold on my heart to share this with you tonight was for you to see him as big enough to guard you. Now that was for me a light that came on in my heart and mind. I was asking the Lord, what would it be tonight that would be your heart's desire? And that was the way I began to be called into this chapter on the Good Shepherd, was that the Lord is big enough to guard you from the enemy. That he's big enough to protect you from the enemy. Now, we know there are a lot of things of the enemy that affect us because Adam and Eve got us into this mess. And then God was bound to get them out of the Garden of Eden so they wouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of life and a tree of life and live forever in that condition. But in losing the Garden of Eden, then we inherited a whole lot of things that affect us now that never was the plan of God. I am sick of knees having to be replaced, hips having to be replaced, cancer that hurts. I am so glad to see Joyce Silver here tonight, and your husband is probably in the choir tonight. Yes, he is. Cancer has not stopped them from their bodies still bringing them to church. We're glad your body could bring you to church tonight. Praise God with a smile on your face, even though for 12 years, fourth stage cancer, God has given you strength to move and be. Oh God, help us to see Jesus for who he is. Yes, he's big enough, and yes, he is committed to help you. I'm not saying that he protects our bodies from wearing out, okay? I'm not saying, and I have to encourage different ones in the hospital every week, try not to feel like the Lord has failed you in any way that you're having to have this surgery. Your body is not a heavenly body. The laws of gravity and other aspects of this world will affect your body, some more than others. I wanted to encourage you tonight, please eat light a lot of the time so that there won't be as much weight on the knees and hips. I'll just throw that out for what it's worth. Because don't feel like you have to do it, but I'm just asking you to consider it. Why don't we start eating half portions a lot of the time? And so forth and so on, and I'll stop there with that. To know Jesus is certainly big enough to help us, and I told somebody in the hospital today, now just remember, if it's in the power for those doctors and nurses to do you good and they don't do it, it's a sin. Because they sure did not like their faith not healing them. Their faith in the Lord and the Lord not healing them without surgery. But try not to worry about it too much, because if it's in the power of the doctors and nurses to do us good and it keeps us living longer, then they don't do it, it's a sin. But let's eat lighter anyway, because we'd rather not have to have the doctors do us that good. I'm serious. That's been on my heart for the last 2 or 3 weeks to tell you that. So it's coming out of a sincere desire, and I'll try to follow that lead myself. But Jesus certainly, and I knew, coupled with what was on my heart last week on Sunday night, putting Jesus first a week ago on Sunday night, was to say that the Holy Spirit's mission that he was given, Jesus said, is to testify of me, Jesus said. To take the things of mine, Jesus said, and reveal them. And sometimes that'll be revealed in our physical body. I mean, really, you look better than people who don't know Jesus. That's the gospel truth. I mean, it's not in the gospel book and so many words, but I really believe it with all my heart. You look better because your body even looks better because you have been in love with Jesus, serving Jesus, living for Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit's mission is to reveal Jesus, whether it's on our physical needs being met, or relationship needs being met, keeping our temper under control, keeping our language good, keeping our emotional health by not getting overworked and so stressful over something and our mental health. And if the Lord reveals Himself in our mental health, now that's going places. But I don't doubt but what God can heal even of Alzheimer's. I do not doubt that God can heal of dementia. I do not doubt Jesus' power. If that man who was sitting there that had been lame 38 years could all of a sudden, Peter said, this name, Jesus, by faith in that name, has made this man whole. I don't doubt but what that name of Jesus in power can do anything. Somebody asked me this week, why don't we see the same miracles that Peter and John saw? And in my feeble, limited way, Brother Crabtree, I said, because there's this distance between 2,000 years ago and today, and we have not walked with Jesus in His resurrection. So whether that's true or not, it seemed to satisfy that CBC student. And I've got a thumbs up from the Ohio chief over here too, so that's not bad, is it? So really, for the Holy Spirit to have His way is to put Jesus first, reveal the things of Christ, bring Jesus to the forefront. And if I'll just cooperate with that in my life and let Jesus be there instead of self, there's going to be a lot more joy and a lot more fruitfulness and a lot more of the strength of the Holy Spirit in my life. The someone said in the last few weeks, and I caught hold of this, and I don't remember if I read it or heard it, but to them, they said, they understood it this way. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are active to strengthen the church. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, are to strengthen you. Now, Brother Harris can tell me later if he agrees with that or not, but it sounds good, doesn't it? That the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us is to help us be strong in our influence, in our overcoming life. If you're full of joy, it's pretty hard to get down. If you're full of love, it's pretty hard for anybody to hurt your feelings. Too bad, because you love them. Peace, if you're full of peace, you can go through any storm and come out on the other side with joy. And so being strengthened inwardly by the fruit of the Spirit, you know, I've always kind of thought, well, if I'm full of the fruit of the Spirit, it'll make everybody else happy. Well, I've never made everybody happy, so. But the fruit of the Spirit can make me happy, can strengthen me so that life can be a good journey. And the gifts of the Spirit can strengthen you through me, as the Lord would give a gifting of the Holy Spirit. And He certainly strengthens me through you. So to see Jesus tonight in this way was really the desire of my heart. And I'm just so thankful that I know Jesus so closely and sense that I am yielding my life to Him. And I wish that was all the time, but I come out of some situations sometimes feeling like, well, I sure didn't handle that as well as I could have. I got so tense this week one time when somebody really was just trying to unload on me how depressed they were because of what was going on in their family. And I became nervous and irritated, but I tried not to say anything bad. I just listened, you know. And I asked them some questions, and I hope they couldn't tell that I was irritated. But my questions were a little bit pointed. Like, Like, well, do you really want your 34-year-old son to keep on manipulating you? Now, that doesn't sound so pointed to you, but if it were you sitting there and I'm asking you, you would probably think I was getting a little personal. But she took it well, and I hope it was the work of the Holy Spirit through me. I hope. Well, I really felt like in all of that, that was on my heart about Jesus tonight. If you can see him so big and so good and so great, he said, I am the good shepherd. But I didn't look it up before church, but I have read it before. One of the writers said he's the great shepherd. And he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And there's one more, and for the life of me, I can't remember it. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. Whoever said that, I hope God gives you a reward in heaven. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. And may that be true in every district of the Assemblies of God, and every sectional presbyter, and every church and pastor, and work of the Lord, and that Jesus is revealed as who he really is in his fullness. And then we are a happy bunch, and a strong bunch, and a believing bunch, and a fruitful bunch. By God's grace tonight, he is big enough, and he's good enough, and he's great enough, and he's chief enough to keep you and guard you and protect you. Shall we stand and thank him for it? You are worthy, Lord Jesus, of the praise and thanks of our hearts. No one like you, and you are just who you are, Jesus, beyond our wildest dreams. And yet you have encapsulated in your words to us that you are good and you are our good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that there is a comforting in your presence. And there is a strengthening in your presence. There is a faith and a faithfulness through your presence. And no one here has to feel that they have to back up from the enemy, from Satan in any way. But you, Jesus, are before us. You are leading, and may we always have you leading, that you are going before us. And Lord, tonight, if this word has been especially for someone that has felt under attack from the enemy, Jesus, you are their good shepherd, and you're more than enough. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.